Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. There's scarcely an American community that's been spared from the ongoing national gun violence crisis, but one that's getting hit especially hard of late is Durham. Thanks in large part to the dangerous convergence of easy access to firearms, a troubling shortage in law enforcement officers, and the growth in the city's gang population, there have been more than 1,000 shootings over the last year and a half in the city, and the trend shows little sign of slowing. In the coming weeks, WRAL-TV will be airing an important new documentary on this subject entitled Durham Under Fire. And recently I caught up with one of the journalists behind it, WRAL-TV investigative reporter and documentary producer Kristen Severance. And as Severance told me, the situation in Durham is deeply worrisome and extremely complex.
Well, Kristen Severance, welcome back to News and Views. Good to have you back with us again.
Thank you so much for having me.
A sobering topic with your new documentary. It's entitled Durham Under Fire, and it's about the impacts of what's really, of course, a national gun violence crisis that our nation is experiencing right now. But it's a particularly acute in one very important triangle community, and that being Durham. And you've got a new documentary that explains that, how people are trying to respond, some of the causes. Tell us about this documentary and what we will be seeing when it does come out.
Right. As you said, Rob, you know, gun violence, this is something happening in cities all across the country. We, of course, focus on Durham, where, you know, shooting levels are really at an all-time high and police staffing levels are at their lowest. You know, we learned there are 111 openings out of 537 officer positions, 20% vacancy rates. And, you know, Police Chief Patrice Andrews, she implemented this plan where she and her executive staff, so her command staff, they're signing up for patrol shifts. We had a very unique opportunity, and not all police departments do this, but they said, we want to show you what it looks like as we try to fight this, you know, pervasive problem of gun violence. So they allowed us really inside. We were there for her first shift, the very first, you know, day she went out on patrol. And, you know, she's doing this to help staffing and morale. 40 minutes into that ride along, there was a shooting at a gas station in Durham.
It's amazing. And she's the chief. She's actually going out and patrolling in a significant city. It's not like she's just doing this for show. She's doing this as a regular shift.
Exactly. And this was a Monday afternoon. I mean, we heard the call come in on the radio and we arrived on scene minutes later. And, you know, we've talked before. I am a longtime reporter. I've been doing this a long time. I've probably been to hundreds of crime scenes over my 17-year news career. But it's different. I have to say, it is different when you are in the car with the police chief. She is working. You hear that call come in. You know, we arrived on scene a few minutes later. Basically, there was this fight outside of the gas station. And a teenager was shot. He ran inside for help. The store owner was grazed with a bullet, both recovered. But, you know, so we get there, Chief Andrews gets out. She's putting up crime scene tape. She's talking to witnesses. Remember, she's on patrol. We were asked to stay in the car, but we could still hear the radio traffic the whole time. We knew they were looking for the suspect. Eventually, the chief comes back to the SUV because even though there is a shooting, the 911 calls don't stop. And she needs to get back to work to cover some of these calls.
We're going to play a little segment here. This is from the moment after she gets right back in the car, right?
Yes.
There is just no regard for life. And when the shots were fired, they just everyone scattered. But there were people there that had small children there. But just thinking that in broad daylight, it's 1:17 and this happens.
I sense just like a real frustration.
Yeah. Just, I mean, it's frustrating. It's frustrating as hell.
Kristen, another huge part of the story when you're talking about gun violence and the crisis, and particularly the gun violence crisis in Durham, is gangs, right? I mean, we know that that is, the numbers are remarkable. We see that thousands, perhaps, of active gang members in Durham right now. Talk to us about some of your findings in this area.
You know, police say gangs, they play a big role in these shootings. A lot of it is, you know, retaliatory shooting, retaliatory violence. But as we've seen numerous times in Durham, innocent people are caught in the crossfire. I mean, that's an overused cliche, but it's true. I mean, there are people who have nothing to do with gangs, who are driving down the street, who are in school buses, who are going to the mall, and they're injured. There are 2,049 active gang members in Durham right now, according to data, but experts told me that the real number is probably about 25% higher than that.
Wow.
And so as part of the documentary, we rode along with DPD's gang unit, Corporal Jermaine Clark. He has a very interesting backstory that we get into in the doc. He grew up in Durham in the inner city. He was drawn to police, where many young people are, you know, drawn to the gang life. But he told us something very interesting, that there are gang members in Durham who are legitimate rappers. These are not, you know, kind of the Instagram social media rapper. These are well-known rappers making a lot of money, tens of thousands of dollars, even more, rapping. And they are really embraced by the community, but they're also helping to destroy the community, you know, police say, by these shootings and committing crimes for the gangs. And, you know, one of the most tragic examples of that entire situation is the shooting of Zion Person. He was 9 years old. This happened 3 years ago. He was on his way to get a snow cone with his aunt and cousins. And police say this Antonio Davenport, an accused gang member, fired into an SUV that he thought belonged to a rival gang, but it wasn't. It was Zion's aunt's SUV. And, you know, this 9-year-old boy was shot and killed. Police and prosecutors say Davenport isn't just a gang member. He was a rapper. He was part of this well-known rap group. He had signed this major contract with Atlantic Records months before the shooting. Now he's awaiting trial for killing Zion, and he's facing life in prison.
It's just a tragic, heartbreaking story. And you actually talked to Zion's grandma, Sandra Pearson, right, about all of this?
Yes.
I think we have a little excerpt from that. Let's listen to that now.
And Zion's supposed to be going to the dentist the next morning. No, he's laying in a morgue. Are you kidding me? Even with the one that's getting ready to go to trial for my grandson, he had already been in prison before of drugs and guns and things of that sort, okay? You come out, you have a second chance in life. You was rapping. You had just got a $1 million record deal. Are you kidding me? Now look where you at. Behind what? But my grandson is gone because you want to run around and be stupid when you had a second chance in life to be someone.
So I know another big part of this latest WRAL doc, Durham Under Fire, is about accountability and talking with city leaders. You're not just talking with the victims. You're not just talking with the people who are in law enforcement directly. You've actually talked to elected officials. Mayor Elaine O'Neill, she's only been on the job for a few months now, but she's got some ideas on making a bigger difference on this issue, or at least getting after it. Talk to us about your conversation with Mayor O'Neill.
Right. You know, she is from Durham. She is a very interesting person. You know, many people have told me that Durham politics have really, they haven't seen someone like Mayor O'Neill. She's a longtime judge, and then she was a law school dean. She told me some very interesting stories. She said when she was on the bench, there was one week where she had three people on her docket, three young people, they died from gun violence in 1 week. And she said that changed the course of her life. I mean, she didn't, at that moment, she didn't say, I'm going to run for mayor, but she said, I have to do something. So years later, she runs for mayor. She says gun violence is going to be a top priority. So part of her plan, I mean, she didn't announce it then, but something she's doing now is she's meeting with gang members and she's trying to work with them to stop violence and, you know, this retaliatory shootings. And she used her contacts. She's able to meet with these men and develop relationships and tries to get them to intervene before something happens. She said it's early, but it's working. And, you know, of course, some people agree with this approach. They say you got to be innovative. Others don't. They say this will backfire or she'll lose credibility if this doesn't work.
Yeah, the idea of an elected official sitting down with someone who's effectively a criminal is obviously controversial. But as you say, she thinks it's been pretty effective. You asked the mayor about some of this criticism. Let's hear what she had to say about that.
I do believe that because of my unique position as a judge and seeing it from that side, I can bring some insight to what I believe is an invisible world to a lot of people, a lot of middle class people. Don't associate with folk in gangs.
You brought up gangs. You know, you have gotten criticism for meeting with gangs, developing a relationship with them. What do you say to people who don't think you should be doing that?
Tell them to give me another solution. If That's why they call it an election. If you want to be mayor, run for it and then do it yourself. Otherwise, Elaine is going to do what my experience and expertise has taught me that I can do in my capacity as mayor.
It's going to be a remarkable documentary, Durham Under Fire. What are some final takeaways? What would you tell people about what they should be looking for and where they can see it?
It's a complex problem. There are so many people with strong ideas on why it's happening. And I found that people in Durham, the officials in Durham, they really believe in what they're doing. But I have to wonder if anyone is on the same page. Is anyone communicating with the other? And I will be interested to hear people's thoughts on this documentary. I know it's complicated, but it's having such an impact on this city. And, you know, many city officials have told me Durham is a great place. Durham is a violent place. And, you know, we also talk about solutions and some things that are working. And we talk to people who are living this and really trying to get at the root causes of what causes gun violence. So people can watch the full documentary. It airs Wednesday, June 29th, 7:30 p.m. on WRIL. You can go to WRALdocumentary.com. You can go to the WRAL YouTube page. And please watch it and let me know what you think.
Kristen, it's an incredibly important topic. It's something we simply can't avoid. Thanks so much for tackling this. I know it wasn't easy, but we're really appreciative that you did it. We'll be looking for it. Undoubtedly looking forward to talking to you again in the future about another important WRAL documentary. Thanks for your great work.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, that's it for this edition of News and Views. Remember, you can check us out online and subscribe for free to some of our state's best news coverage and political commentary at ncpolicywatch.com. You can also listen to all of our interviews and commentaries on Apple Podcasts. For producer Clayton Henkel, this is Rob Schofield. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week.
You've been listening to News and Views. A weekly look at state and policy issues is a production of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com.